This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, the business station. Welcome to Cruise Control. My name is Rich Bradbury. This is a car show here on BFM. In the studio with me is Daniel Fernandez from DSF.my.
I am back.
Where have you been?
You know, Richard.
Oh, here we go.
After weeks of insulting you as an expat, I realized that I wasn't insulting you.
Was
promoting your cause.
Indeed.
So I needed a week off to gather my thoughts.
And recover
from it. And that's why I'm back today. So much more energetic and ready.
Should I be expecting some nice new insults today?
No.
You've had a couple of weeks to think about it.
No.
And as usual, of course, it is the man with the news, Mr. Arif Ruse.
Hello.
How are you?
Okay. Excited to see the both of you back together
again. It's nice, right? Two old fogies sat together.
Yeah. Right. Super exciting.
There you go. Ladies and gents, as usual, the car show is split into two segments. We have the news up front, and then we have a feature at the back end, which will be the Honda Civic facelift.
Yes.
No car review this week, Daniel. You've been away 2 weeks and you've not driven anything.
We have a short little car preview.
Oh, we'll go with that.
And we'll go with that.
But of course, up first, it is the man with the news, Mr. Arif Ruse.
So, first piece of news. Actually, you know, this week there hasn't been much of a hoo-ha amongst, you know, the government and all that
so
stuff.
So no tolls, no new car plan, no flying cars.
No.
Really?
Yeah, but we do have one. Oh. It's about road taxes, and apparently there's been a huge leakage. The JPJ reported that there's been up to 50 million ringgit losses from road tax leakages from this year, January to August, which is quite huge, isn't it?
50 million. Keep panky going off.
Actually, yeah. I think it's more.
I wouldn't be surprised if it's more. But anyway, a lot of these leakages came from renewals made in Sabah, Sarawak, Labuan and Langkawi, also known as, you know, where road taxes are cheaper over there.
Yes.
50% of registrations there are actually made from car owners based in the peninsula.
Yes, it's a very easy thing to do. Basically, when you go and see a used car dealer or a grey importer, and you're buying a high capacity car like a Ford Mustang, a Porsche Panamera, a Lamborghini Gallardo, a Porsche 911, you know, whatever car that's beyond 3 liter, because that's the magical number for road tax. You just go Bentleys and everything like that.
Yeah,
they will tell you, would you like a cheaper road tax? And you know, that's how the rich get richer. They say, yeah, sure, I like a cheaper road tax. How can I do this? Don't worry, we will send your documentations to normally it's Sabah and Sarawak. Langkawi not so often. Sabah and Sarawak, we'll get it renewed there. And then you come back and say, what about my car registration? Don't worry, we will do everything for you. We got runners. Then the next question comes, what about the next year? Don't worry, next year you come and see me, you insure your insurance with me, I will do your road tax for you again. Now, I have to say, a lot of people are in doubt about how bad this is.
Yeah.
And I can tell you, very simple. If you're living in Klang Valley, just go to the valet car park at the Pavilion Shopping Mall or Bangsa Shopping Village and have a look at all the luxury cars there. Take a picture with your smartphone of their road tax disc and see how many of them are actually paying full road tax. And then you come and comment on our Instagram. What's Instagram?
At BFM Cruise Control. Good plug there.
But oh, you actually got method.
Wow. But just a few examples. Like you said, you know, Gallardo, yes. 5.2 litre V8. In Peninsula, the road tax will cost about 12,100 ringgit. Right. But if you go renew in Sabah, you pay only 4,000 ringgit. So that's 8,000 ringgit saved.
Right.
If you have a Rolls-Royce Ghost, which we've seen, again, a bunch usually parked outside of BSC or BV.
Right.
6.6 litre V12 engine, you pay here in the peninsula 18,500 ringgit.
Right.
If you go to Langkawi and renew it, you pay 9.2. So the savings is more than half.
Yes. And you know, that's money saved which you can spend shopping in this expensive mall.
Wait, I have a question. Is this legal?
Well, it's a loophole. It's a loophole in the system. It's not really legal. It's not really illegal.
Mm-hmm.
But the system was put into place because Sabah and Sarawak didn't have proper roads. So they said, you know, people shouldn't be paying so much road tax if you don't have proper roads. But if you go to Sabah and Sarawak today, majority of the roads are perfectly fine.
Comparable to PJ.
Exactly, comparable to PJ. We've got the equivalent number of potholes and, you know, India.
As the moon.
Yes. So I don't think so. There's anything illegal in doing this. It's just that now they should make it all one system.
Right.
There's nothing to say that the guy living in East Malaysia is suffering more because he's got less road. I don't think so.
That's the excuse they've been using for, yes, for a really, yes, really, really long, yes, time.
Yes. Okay, so what are they doing about this?
So JPJ, they have stopped post office renewals because that's where people usually get their runners to, yes, renew their road taxes.
Right.
And it's not been great, apparently, because the Ministry of Transport's Anthony Loke, he says that, you know, banning these road tax renewals in post office will definitely burden the people in rural areas, right, because then they would have to drive,
right,
long ways just to go to a JPJ office, which, right, aren't very apparent, as I found out.
Yeah. But I think, you know, should let it still be renewed in the post office. Just have one system for the whole country.
Yeah, yeah.
So do you have the top tier or do you have the bottom tier?
Of course, I would like the bottom tier.
Right, right.
But the government needs to collect money. So let's have the top tier.
Where do you get your road tax renewed?
I get it done at the post office.
At the post office.
But, you know, but my car is 1.8. Right. So, you know, my road tax is...
You're not driving around
equivalent to your two-hour salary.
Yeah, I mean, but that's the whole argument that everybody's saying, that,
right,
all our road taxes should be standardized,
fair, yes, fair,
and fair and revised, especially because, yes, well, I haven't been to Sabah or Sarawak in a long time, but, right, you know, I don't think the roads there are as bad as ours.
Well,
frankly,
early last year, I drove from Kuching to KK, and I even went into many of the smaller towns. The roads are fine.
Mm. And it, yeah, should also be mentioned that a lot of the East Malaysians, they buy a lot of SUVs and pickups,
right,
for the reason, you know, there's,
exactly,
a lot of potholes. Sometimes they go on back roads, the kampung roads, and,
yes,
they're not perfectly paved. But, you know, these days you can buy a small SUV too with a 1.5-liter engine, Honda HR-V.
That's what people in Klang Valley also buy SUVs for,
yeah,
the potholes and the floods and everything else.
Yeah.
Same reasons.
Yeah.
Shall we move on? I mean, we've complained about it enough, right?
You, yes, know, I think we're done with it.
Okay. I'd like to see where they're going to go with this, though. Right, shall we have some launches?
Yes, we shall. The first one, Honda Civic facelift, we are going to be reviewing this after this. So,
yes,
just the headlines for now,
right,
no prices yet,
right,
as far as I know. And it's going to be launched with a whole host of safety equipment they're calling Honda Sensing.
Yes, which you've already seen in the CR-V and the Accord.
Mm. Yeah, that's about it until the review. But the other big one, another Japanese manufacturer, is Lexus. They finally launched the ES250, which is basically a business class company car, I think. Two versions you get. One of them is the premium, which starts at 300 grand, about the same price as the base model C-Class. And the luxury version, which is the highest spec, which is the same price as the 3 Series. The thing about the ES, though, I feel like it's slightly bigger than the 5 Series or the E-Class equivalent on the inside. So it's almost kind of like a business class.
It's a big car. It's a,
yeah,
it's the size of a Toyota Camry.
Again, continuing the trend of all safety equipment, the new ES comes with the host of safety equipments. And the ES will be powered by a 2.5-liter four-cylinder with 204 horsepower, which, you know, if you're buying it for a company car, that doesn't matter. But the other Lexus that was launched, it was the RX300, the most beloved SUV that Malaysians like. Three versions this time, the premium, the luxury, and the F-Sport. It starts at 400,000 ringgit, which is the premium, and then the F-Sport, which is 440,000 ringgit. A lot of money. But again, you get all the safety equipment, a new 12.3-inch display with a 2-litre four-cylinder turbo and 235 horsepower, which is kind of impressive. Not much difference. They're quite generous with the base spec, but the higher specs, obviously, you can spec more different leathers like brown or red.
Brown.
So, and you get a rear view camera. Which,
hey, what's wrong with brown? I'm brown.
Hey, I never said this.
No.
Brown is beautiful.
Okay.
There you go.
That's all for the local car launches. But this week, there was the huge Frankfurt Motor Show. Where
going on right now.
A lot of car manufacturers, especially the European manufacturers, love to show off their stuff there. So we selected maybe just three interesting cars. The first one is the Land Rover Defender.
Yeah, we need to talk about this.
Yes.
What have they done to it? Daniel.
Well, you know, I got to say, Land Rover has done a very good job,
uh-huh,
in copying the Suzuki Jimny.
I said the Nissan Cube as well.
Yes.
The wraparound window, something
correct,
like that.
FJ Cruiser.
The FJ Cruiser a little bit. what have they done with it? I mean, the thing is about the Land Rover Defender, you could look at it and immediately you could identify what it was.
Yes.
They've not gone too far away from that, but they've rounded it off a little bit. They've kind of child-proofed it almost. It's got no pointy edges.
Yeah, you said it looked like a toy car.
It looks like a toy car.
It's a Tonka truck.
It looks like a Tonka. And I'm not saying it doesn't look great. It'll take a while for me to get used to looking at it, but... It's lost the aggressiveness that I liked about it. You know?
But you know something?
Mm.
It'll sell.
Of course,
like
it will.
Hotcakes.
It will
because
fly off it.
Every Premier League football player.
Oh my! And his wife.
Every pop star will want one.
Yes.
Every rapper, including the ones that work in the shopping malls, that rap goods, they will want one.
And it actually comes with wraps, doesn't it?
So you
have to replace the panels.
Yeah. If you hit something, you won't have to repaint the whole thing.
Yes.
The thing about this Land Rover Defender is that you can spec it totally basic, which they say starts at £40,000, which is a lot of money here anyway.
Right.
Or you can spec it up to a Chelsea version, which is like Land Rover Autobiography, which is worth £80,000. And you can even spec the Land Rover Defender with 3-row seats in the front, which is quite interesting. Or you can spec it to remove it and leave nothing in there.
Right. Wow. Well, you know,
it's a modular design.
Yeah, that's the right word. Modular design, very good idea. It'll work well in, you know, like say for Africa, if you want to use it for hard nose work, you need the 3 seats in front because you want to carry things at the back.
Right.
It'll work in, say, in Chelsea, heart of London, when the rich people want to put their shopping in the bag.
Right,
you know,
right.
It'll work. It'll work.
Or the golf clubs. You know,
let's
include Arif in this. Yes.
Apparently, you can spec up to 170 accessories on this car, so they've really gone all the way with that.
Yes.
The other interesting car, however, is the Volkswagen ID.3.
This I like.
Yeah, we talked about this a lot, and they've been teasing it for the past year, and it's finally out. Mm. It's Volkswagen's first production EV, the first of 50 that they're going to launch until 2025.
Right.
The base model gets you about 330 kilometers of range, but if you spec it up to the top, you get 550 kilometers of range. It's powered by a 200-horsepower rear-wheel-driven single motor, and the Volkswagen COO says that it's as compact as a Golf. It has the interior space of a Volkswagen Passat and a punch of a Golf GTI. So I'm quite excited about this.
Mm. He's just got marketing mojo coming out of his lips.
But it looks nice.
Yeah.
It really looks nice.
The other one, I believe Richard Bradbury bought.
Oh, my word.
It's a Porsche Taycan.
Mm. There's the story behind this. Yeah. So for the past few years, it seems I share an email address with the same another Richard Bradbury.
Really?
Yeah, based in the UK.
Okay.
And this guy has just put a deposit down on a Porsche Taycan. So I had an email saying, congratulations on your new Porsche. We do hope you enjoy it. It will be delivered on such and such a date. And I'm sat there going... This is the best birthday present ever.
This came to your personal email.
This came to my personal email.
Oh, right.
Except it's
can
not.
Can I get a screen capture and do a story on
my Porsche? Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Anyway, the Porsche Taycan. It's a very, very impressive car. I think it looks slightly weirder than the concept, but base model 616 horsepower. Or overboosted 750 horsepower that also gives you 400 kilometers of electric vehicle range, which is huge. A lot of comparisons have been drawn on the internet between the Tesla fanboys and the Porsche fanboys. They're saying like, oh, the Tesla Model S P100D is way more powerful and it has all of this. But, you know, I think we reviewed the Porsche Macan the other day and we were saying like, if it doesn't have a Porsche badge, what's it really worth,
right? Exactly.
But then again, there's two versions. There's a Taycan Turbo, but the car doesn't really have a turbo, right?
Where's the turbocharger?
Before anybody gets into a freak about the naming system, it's just a name. It's just, you know...
I think it's just to differentiate the power output.
Simple as that.
Simple as that.
Done.
Ladies and gents, we are going to take a short break. Of course, if you missed any part so far, you can download the podcast shortly from wherever you get your podcasts from. And if you want to keep up to date on what we've been doing, you can follow us on Instagram at...
BFM Cruise Control.
When we come back, we have a feature. It is the Honda Civic facelift. Daniel will be talking us all the way through that. Of course, it is dsf.my if you want to look at his webpage. We're taking a short break. You're listening to Cruise Control here on BFM 89.9.
Break from monotony. BFM 89.9.
BFM 89.9, the business station. This is Cruise Control, the car show here on BFM. My name is Rich Bradbury. I'm in the studio with Daniel Fernandez from DSF.my. Say hello.
Hola.
The man with the news, Arif Ruz.
Hello.
Now, getting onwards and upwards with a facelift. We're getting old. We're getting to the age where maybe some things are starting to sag a little bit, and you might want to give it a little bit of a facelift. Something like the Honda Civic.
Yes. So we were invited just a week ago to Bangkok. Actually, just outside Bangkok, Thailand, to see the new Honda factory and at the same time get a sneak preview of the new facelifted Civic. Mm. So we already did a Google search and, you know, we couldn't find anything new about this car. And then, you know, we did a Google search in Thai and then we still couldn't find anything. Then we did a Google search in Indonesia because, you know, they share a lot of components and we still couldn't find anything. So we asked Honda people, why are you taking us? No, it's a secret. But anyway, we got there and then we saw the car. And then we said, what's new?
Oh.
Okay. So this is the best part. The car has been facelifted very, very mildly, very mildly. But it's what underneath that has been really changed. Number one, Honda has added sensing. Sensing is Honda's naming for a whole suite of safety features, which, for example, like Subaru has got EyeSight. Same thing. They've got all these cameras and radars and everything else. So the facelift for Honda Sensing comes in three categories that has eight features. They got adaptive cruise control, which is almost like level two autonomy driving. So if you're in traffic, if you're on a straight road or a slightly bending road, you can actually set it. You can actually sit and relax and the car will go by itself.
Speed up and slow down, right?
Yes, but it's not 100% autonomy driving, so you have to be alert. Mm. But with this, you know, if you're sitting in heavy traffic, you say in Jalan Tun Razak early morning, you know, for the next three or four,
hours,
yeah, how long it takes you to reach from one end to the other end, you can actually be a little bit more relaxed, you know. But don't play with your phone because you're still driving a car. Then you got forward collision warning, you got collision mitigation braking system, lane keep assist, which is all good features for the modern driver because roads are just getting out of control. Now, the lane keep assist and all works quite well because we tried it. And as long as the white lines on the road are clearly marked, they can actually sense it. But of course, in Thailand, when we took it out of the circuit and onto general roads, of course, certain areas, you know, the white lines are a bit grey. You can see that lane keep assist keeps a little bit, you know, wondering, should I stay, should I not? But generally, about 80-85% of the time, it was working perfectly fine. Then you got lane departure warning, and then you got lane watch. Lane watch is that, you know, side view camera with a screen in it.
Oh,
so you can actually see very clearly what's on your left, especially in our part of the world where there's a lot of cup chais and small motorbikes cutting in from the left. Front parking sensors. Now, the physical features, let me tell you about the physical features. You get a new front bumper. What they mean is they've actually changed the configuration of the lines a little bit. But the biggest feature which I loved was they've actually de-chromed the front of the car.
Yeah. It's almost like you see every Civic that's rolling around Malaysia, everybody has de-chromed their bumpers. So
I'm not a fan of a lot of chrome. But when I saw this, I said, hey, no more chrome. They say, yes, this we have de-chromed it. Same thing with the rear bumper. There's a new tailgate spoiler. And then the grille now, just the center part of the grille where you used to have the little Honda wing, it's now blackened. So it's very nice. And then, of course, new set of alloy wheels, 18-inch. Now, the engine is still the 1.5 turbo engine. Power outputs, everything else remains. So it's a mild facelift, but it's a big forward for the safety features. Mm. Now, price-wise, they've not shared with us, but we are taking a huge guess here, and this is the guess we're doing. When Honda launched the Accord with sensing, the price went up by about 10,000-11,000 ringgit. So I'm guessing with all the safety features added and plus the facelift, about another 10,000 ringgit more. So from 130 to 140, you know, some will say it's a bit high. But then again, the competitors are all in 140, 150, 160.
Yeah, yeah. Right. The Mazda 3 itself starts at 140. So.
Yes. And then the new Toyota Altis that's coming in is also about that price. And, you know, it's still the number one selling car. Do you know, till today, I've got this figure from yesterday. They sell about 1,100 to 1,200 Civics every month.
In Malaysia.
That's some good numbers.
Very good numbers. And they say this segment is shrinking. It may be shrinking for the competition, but it's not shrinking for Honda and the Civic.
Okay, we do have a four-point inspection.
Yes, boss.
You've already answered one of the questions, really. Right. Who are its competitors, of course, the Mazda 3 and the Toyota Altis.
Right.
Now, what was it? Was it lacking these safety features in the first place, do you think?
Not to say it's lacking, because, you see, when everyone pushes the game up, like, I would say Subaru really pushed the game up with EyeSight. And when they came in with EyeSight, everyone was a little bit skeptical about, the take-up rate. Why? Because it's going to be much more expensive. And, you know, Subarus are already very safe cars. But then when they launched the EyeSight with the added price put on top, 70-80% of buyers wanted EyeSight.
Right.
They're willing to pay more money for it. Malaysians are getting very, very sensitive about safety because too many cars on the road, too many cup ties on the road, everybody, every little food delivery guy, courier guy is breaking the law. They can't keep their eyes constantly on the road. So you need this extra eyes to help you. So Honda realizes that and said, I got to add this in also.
And honestly, with these blind spot monitoring systems, they really help.
Exactly.
They really do. So it's a facelift.
Yes.
How much do you think it's improved, if any, at all? Other than the
physically,
fact.
Physically, I actually like it now much better. I wasn't drawn to the previous Civic. I mean, the current Civic. I was never drawn to it. I like driving it. It's a nice car. You cannot go wrong with a Civic. But because of the chrome, I was just not drawn to it. But now when it's de-chromed, I like it.
Do you think they should have done more with the styling, though?
You can't really do much with the styling because it's not a very old car. It's still a new product. And it's still a very good-looking product in terms of sales.
Yeah.
So why would you want to change the styling? So what they did was they're just being smart. They add more safety features. I just pushed the price up a little bit because I'm giving you a little bit more. And then I put a nicer set of rims. I de-chrome the car, you know.
And I believe you answered this just now, but let's go around it again. With all the new safety kits and everything, what are we expecting for prices?
I would say about 135 to 140.
Final word on this new Civic?
I think the sales figure will go up from 1,200 units to 1,800 units. I think there'll be a 50% growth.
Do you think it'll be enough to like sway buyers from other manufacturers? Because it seems like all the other manufacturers are releasing their version of Honda Sensing with their cars too.
True, but if you're going to buy, say, a Subaru, you want a Subaru because that's an SUV. Mm. If you want to buy a Mazda CX-5, you'll buy a Mazda CX-5. But if you want to buy a Mazda 3, even though it's a good-looking car, a lot of features, great price in terms for a fully imported car, you'll say, well, I can save 20,000 ringgit by getting this Honda because in my mind, psychologically, it comes from Thailand. It's imported.
Ladies and gents, that's all the time we have for today, of course. We'll be back next week, same time, same place. Of course, you have been listening to Cruise Control. We spoke, first of all, about road taxes and leakages.
Yeah.
Oh dear, 50 million ringgit between
plus,
and August, plus. And then, of course, we had local launches and some interesting cars, including the child-friendly Land Rover Defender, wrapping up, of course, with the facelifted Honda Civic. Do join us next week. My name is Rich Bradbury. I've been in the studio with
Daniel Fernandez from DSF.my
and Arif Roos from BFM.
That's right.
Instagram?
At BFM Cruise Control. You can hit us up and, you know, vote on some polls.
Yes.
And read up on a little bit of a write-up on what we think of some interesting cars at the Frankfurt Motor Show.
Fantastic.
See you next week, folks. You've been listening to Cruise Control here on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.